Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Was a delight to talk to Mike Palm, one of God's great men. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, I'm wondering how NBA futures work with the draft. You know, we know that free agency period's coming up, but I'm very curious about when people jump in. When do you see the action really pick up when you start talking about the NBA?
You know, some people will dive in as soon as that game seven ended last Sunday and we opened up the numbers, and you'll get a few pros diving in on what they think are opportunities, mostly on teams that are longer odds. You get some casual money come in. We opened the Lakers 15-1, and they got that down a little bit to 13-1. I mean, at the top of the draft, it was pretty much according to Hoyle. Not a lot of huge surprises. Until we post the regular season win totals, I don't think you're really going to see much impact of the draft, because these teams that are getting these top guys, you know, not a lot of them are going to really compete for an NBA title. Right. That's why they're drafting so high. You know, you knew Dallas was going to get flagged, so that's built in a little bit. I know a couple sharp guys that think Dallas has a legit shot of making a run next year, obviously depending on when Kyrie comes back, but they're high on Flag. We opened Flag Rookie of the Year minus $2, so pretty heavy favorites, considering a lot of things could go wrong. But, of course, that being said, with Kyrie not going to be playing for a significant portion of the year, he will get a lot of minutes and touches, you would think. So, you know, some people dove into that market as well on Rookie of the Year.
Will the NHL draft tonight move the needle in any way, whether it's betting on who goes where or on how it changes next season's odds?
Not really, David. More if there's some free agency moves. It's going to move it more when veterans move around. It's going to move things more. You know, is Mitch Marner going to end up in Las Vegas? What's Edmonton going to do? I think they're going to go after John Gibson of Anaheim. I think Dostal is clearly the number one there, and I think Anaheim might be willing to try to acquire some young players. I'm high on the Ducks. I think the Ducks are a playoff team this year. I mean, they made a 21-point improvement last year. If they can keep moving in that direction, and of course they get Quinville, which suppresses their odds a little bit. I put some pizza money on them at 100-1 to win the cup. If you can get them to the playoffs and they can win a series, you can have some fun with it.
I always wonder, like, it seems to me that the NFL is king and people are betting the NFL with whether there's futures there or not, and everybody has an idea and a sense of it. Is that significantly different than what we're talking about with the NBA or with even Major League Baseball?
Did we lose Mike?
Baseball. You got me?
You're back.
You're back.
Yep, you're back.
All right. The most money in terms of per sport is baseball because of the sheer number of games. But Every week we have people coming in and betting NFL futures. I mean, they're betting the Vikings with both hands. They're betting the Rams. They're betting the Broncos, if that gives anybody information. We had to move the Vikings win total from 8.5 to 9.5 because so much money was coming in on the Vikings. And people are betting the Vikings to win the NFC as well. We had them 25-1. They're now down to 9-1.
That's bad news, because as I recall, you told us that they and the Bears were both 8.5, and it was kind of a battle between them. So there's more people believing in the Vikings than anyone else.
That's for sure. The Bears, the juice on the under 8.5 continues to grow. Remember, it was a favorite a little bit over 8.5. Now under 8.5 is -145.
Wow. What did Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers do to their futures, and did that get some interest?
What it did when he signed was nothing. We moved it ahead of that. When he didn't sign with the Vikings, we made the assumption he was going to sign with the Steelers, and it moved their win total up a half game, I think. But we ahead of that, when he didn't sign with the Vikings, we already moved the number just on the belief that he was going to the Steelers. And you know, people were wringing their hands about, oh, it's so late, and I mean, we're already into May and June, and he hasn't signed. Remember when Favre signed with the Vikings? It was August 12th.
Wow!
So we forget recent history.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, when we talk about the people kind of jumping in and things changing, does the baseball trade deadline are those futures seem like? I read something that on April whatever, if you're leading the division on June 1, you're going to win the division. Only one team didn't do so last year. That doesn't really the trade deadline change how people look at baseball, or is that just not enough of a jump?
It does, Molly, but there's so much more money bet into the baseball futures early in the year, to your point. I mean, maybe if the Cubs pick up a big arm, but what's it going to change? At 10 cents on their odds to win the Central, something like that? If a big pitcher acquisition could possibly mean something. I think it's like built into the Dodgers' price that everybody already knows they're going to go out and get, you know, whatever they want. So there's not too much there. By the way, talking about baseball, I think these Brewers are a really interesting team. This kid, Mizorowski, is amazing to watch pitch. I mean, when he got called up, we put him at 25-1 for NL Rookie of the Year. He's already -120 after three starts.
Oh, my gosh. But he does throw 100.
He's impressive. Yeah. He definitely is impressive.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Mike. That's great.
He needs to develop a third pitch, though. Once we get into August and these teams start to see him a second time, if he doesn't have a third pitch, I think the performance won't stay at those levels. But thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you. That is Mike Palm. Great stuff. I find that fascinating how people pick that apart.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.